Hey, welcome to the Bible class. We appreciate you joining us. There's a few people strolling in, so we'll give them a second to sit down. And get... you just get prettier and prettier every time I see you. You know that? Brother? You know what my mama used to say, though? Pretty is as pretty does. I don't know if that's true. I was probably ugly then. I'm still kind of ugly.
Trial.
You know?
No.
All right, turn to 2 Corinthians.
Last time when we talked about faith.
2 Corinthians 8. I appreciate it. Huh? Tell you a little bit about your preacher's adventures. Christy says, you go all the time. I am the most popular great preacher in the grace movement. Right now, I'm in high demand, you know. We went out to Texas and we preached with Jerry Lockhart. We had a lot of fun. We preached Friday night and Saturday. A girl got saved Friday night, 15 years of age. So praise the Lord. That's kind of what I went out there for. And Saturday morning, Jerry and I, you couldn't have planned the messages. I had no idea what he was going to preach. He had no idea what I was going to preach. And when we got done, I was even amazed. They work so fantastic together. If you didn't get it, you just didn't want to get it, you know? And it was unbelievable. I'm sad we didn't record that because that was really... those six messages were fantastic. I mean, they worked the whole weekend. And even Jerry kept calling me and said, "Man, did you plan that?" I'm like, "I didn't know what you were going to preach on. How could I plan something? I had no idea." And then... Saturday morning, or Sunday morning, I was down in Jerry Lockhart's church preaching there, and some of the guys in Kentucky didn't tune into our webcast. They tuned into Jerry so they could follow me, make sure I wasn't really misbehaving or anything. I think that's why they were checking on me, you know. But I had the honor, my dad's best friend is Chico Mueller, and his wife, lives now in New Braunfels, came and heard me preach. So my dad got somebody to the church where they can hear the gospel, and it was a blessing to me. I hope it was a blessing to her too. But I mean, she came out and she said, "Yeah, you really can preach." And I said, I was wound up a little from Friday and Saturday. I probably went overboard a little bit, you know. But we did preach it. And then I had a very nice physicist come and we talked Bible for another hour after I got done preaching. A real-life physicist that knows about quantum physics and all that. And so he's very smart and I'm very dumb. And so you can match that. It was a very interesting conversation. We went out and had some fantastic fellowship. I did go and look at the TriCaster, that piece of equipment I'm wanting to buy. I want you all to pray about what you could do. I mean, if you really squeezed hard out of all that you had in you, because this thing is $15,000.
Plus.
Well, plus a few thousand for a minimum, but I think we can afford that as we go. It would put us on the web a lot better qualification, a lot better quality than what we're getting on the web right now. It would be better than watching your TV as you see it right now. It would be cleaner than that. It wouldn't be high definition because you can only... we could send it up high definition, but they can't send it out at high definition. You couldn't get it at high definition. That is the next thing on my list, and I'd like to get it in the next 2 weeks. So, no, I'm serious. And I want us to pray about it and put it to prayer. I believe the Lord can do great things. And I'm going to trust the Lord about that. But it would be a piece of equipment we could add in the back that would allow us to do a lot more than where we are right now with it. And it would be amazing, actually. We went and looked at a demo, And now Jerry's counting up his pennies. They're that powerful. And if you get on the web and you get the web presence, we've got probably the best web presence of any Grace Church out there. Okay? Which is fantastic. But you're fighting for audience. And the way to do that is by putting out a better product. You all understand what I mean by that? That the cameramen get better at what they do, and the sound person get better at what they do, and bring a better product to market so that people will ultimately... This piece and one other piece would allow us to go 24/7 as a Grace station, so you could turn your people on 24/7 and something could be playing on that.
It's the same piece of equipment that ABC uses on their sports,
their remote sports program. Exactly the same. Same piece of equipment. I mean, they bought it from this company, same piece. And it would round off where we are, and I think that would be great. If it came to dropping the local station to get it, I would think it would probably be worth it, because we'll probably gain a lot more people via the internet. They can tune in just about anywhere that has cable modem and above. So it doesn't have to be DSL, but you got DSL would be great, and on and on. But cable modem.
Tune in or send them to our...
Yeah, well, on our web, before we dropped our television station, we'd be pumping it with a tagline that you could watch us live on the web, that we're going to be dropping our program. But if you want to join us web, and we could do that. Now, we're under a 2-year contract at a pretty good price. So, you know, we ought to discuss it sometime at a future time. But it is definitely something that I can see in the vision of where I want to take the ministry. Because, let me tell you what we're doing here, you may see some empty seats and say, man, gosh, we're just not doing effective. We've got, on the 28th of August, a pancake breakfast, and he's got tickets to hand out. Invite your friends. We're going to treat them so good that they're going to have to love at least one of them. Okay? Invite your friends. If you don't have any friends, like Larry, invite your cat.
You have a neighbor next door and a neighbor next door, and one in front of you and one in back of you.
Yeah. Well, why don't you invite her? That would be nice. Right. You've got to invite the guy on the other side. But anyway, if everybody does that and invites and then follows up with who you invited, we're going to get some material put together. And Wayne is really helping me a lot with that. And we'll have a little package to hand them out, which would tell them our website, our TV program, our times of services. There'll be a track for salvation, a track on the church and what we believe, and that kind of thing, in a little packet that we'll give everyone. We're not here to witness to them. We're here just to have a pancake, and we want to keep it that way. Y'all understand? If someone says, what do you believe? This is what I want you to say. Why don't you come on Sunday? You got it? Not that I don't want anybody witness to, but that's not really what it is. It's just to get acquaintance with the neighbors. And there's apartments back here, and there's Delrata, and Forest Hill, and Morning View. And if you just handed out tickets, made copies of the tickets and handed them out in the neighborhood and say, please come. You never know what will happen. Okay? And we lost our dog back a couple Christmas Eves ago, and we put out posters. And on the poster, we put all our church time. And a lady came and says, I've seen you on TV. And I said, why don't you come? She says, I've been thinking about it. It's just right down the road, isn't it? I said, yes, ma'am. Now, she never came. But, you know, if we hand out enough stuff, okay? So that will get people for Wade and Norm and, you know, the guys and me to preach at. And so on and on. All right, y'all in 2 Corinthians 8? It's one of my favorite passages in Scriptures.
What? Yeah?
And
No, I didn't yet.
Guys, don't... Oh, by the way, don't text me. My phone is at home. Brendan and I have had a traumatic day. It was calm up until the last... Now, we've been without a refrigerator for a week. I've been out of town, so Brenda has been living out of an ice chest for a week. And like that ain't bad enough, she buys a refrigerator that costs more than my first car. And all I wanted was the halogen light. And it's cool. You open it up, it's like, cool. Everything else was optional. And so I didn't really care. But it looks really nice. And I think she did a good job. So she goes to have it delivered. It's going to deliver between 1 and 5. Guess what time they show up? 5 o'clock. You know why? I said, honey, I would have said, we can't do it 1 to 5. My husband's a preacher. Oh, we'll have plenty of time to go to church. No, you don't understand. When you do things for the preacher, all hell breaks loose. I'm telling you, ask Dale. Going over, chop a tree, knocks the corner of the roof off. That's not abnormal. Amen? I mean, you know. So, guess who was the very last one to deliver to today?
You.
Yep. Isn't that amazing? And that's the way it is. And if you don't like it, I would recommend you just shut up about Jesus. But if you're going to talk about the Lord, you're going to be in trouble. Go to 2 Corinthians 8. And I want to start in verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now here's the verse I want, verse 11. Now therefore from the doing of it, that there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. For if there be first a willing mind, it's accepted according to a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now let me give you a hint here. People are funny about ministry. They are. I've had people say to me, well, if I had money, I'd go do this. If I had this, I'd go do that. And you know, that's just not true. You know, what I'm going to talk to you about is a little bit about faith. It's interesting, really. It's interesting. I think faith is interesting. Look in Hebrews chapter 11 and look at what faith is. And I'm going to use faith in the context of 2 Corinthians 8 as money just to show examples. It works in all aspects. It really has nothing to do with money. Y'all understand? But you can see it in money. Hebrews 11, verse 1. The Bible said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, then I'm going to use what people think. That's your paycheck. And some of your paycheck goes to this and some this and some that, and you divide the pie up. But you do it based upon what you see. That's not faith. That doesn't take any faith at all. You know what that takes? Math. Math is not faith. You got it? People say, well, I'm going to give based upon faith. Then that's something different than math. If you can figure it out, Why do you yet hope for it? You see, and that's how people operate their whole life. They operate their ministry that way. Say, well, I saw some faces when I mentioned $15,000, like, we can't afford it. Really? You think that he can't afford it? Or you don't want to participate in affording it? Isn't that interesting? When I mentioned $14,000 or $15,000, there was a few sour notes in the bunch. And when I said in 2 weeks, you guys got even more sour. Now, that's fascinating to me. Why don't you believe God can do that? So why all the doubting Thomases?
Because we can't see it.
That's the but if you can see it, you don't need faith. See, that's the whole point. They can figure out their paycheck and say, okay, I'm going to give that much to the Lord. This is the Lord's. And that's a math problem. That is not faith. That doesn't require faith. It doesn't require effort. It says, well, we want to help the preacher out. Give him a dollar or two. That doesn't require faith. Faith is something great. You know, he said, if you had the faith of a mustard seed in Matthew, that big. You can move mountains. You have people today, they're walking around in a mathematical equation. They're trying to figure it in their head. They're not trusting the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, Proverbs says. Lean not to thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Man, come on. Where is your faith? Where is your trust? Look at verse 6. Now, this is interesting. I find this fascinating. Don't you find it fascinating? I find this fascinating. Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith, or you could say with a math equation, it is impossible to please Him. You got it? Faith requires the belief. But you know what? You cannot, listen to me very, 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 very carefully. You cannot please God by a math equation. You know how most people figure their whole giving isn't based upon faith, it's upon what? Math. Is that pleasing to God? It's showing you like, hey, I got it, I'll give it. I got it, I'll give it. What happens if you don't have it? But you think you ought to be giving it. That's the tricky part. The tricky part isn't with you got it, giving it. That isn't tricky. It's when you think you should be giving it and you can't see it. You got it? That's the tricky part of faith. Don't let anyone fool you. If it was easy, anybody would do it. It's not easy. It reminded me, and I'm a movie buff, and I know I relate. Wade probably gets mad at me because I give more illustrations out of movies than some preachers, but I know you'll watch those stupid movies. But you know that Indiana Jones? when it says he gets to the edge of the wall and the door is over there and there's an endless bottomless pit there, and it says by faith you have to take the first leap. You remember that part of the movie? And you did you see that? And it formed underneath him? But first he had to take the leap of faith. See, if you can see it, it isn't faith. He had to believe the words of that expression that they had, because he came through all the letters. He had to spell out something. I forgot what he spelled out on the floor by stepping on the letters. And he almost screwed up because one of the letters were changed later in a century, and it was the old lettering, and if he'd have stepped on that, he'd have, you know. And then he gets to that leap of faith, and that really is about faith. And that takes a little bit of effort. See, I want to give. Giving isn't $20. I mean, you can give. Praise the Lord. We could use the money. You know what I mean? I won't tell you. But that ain't operating by faith. You want to turn on God? You want to let Him rip? Do it by faith. Say, how does that work? Well, I'm giving an illustration of how God taught me it works. I can't necessarily tell you how it worked. We got paid once a month in Kmart. And Jerry came and taught from Mobile. He drove from Mobile, Alabama to Houston, Texas once a week to teach a Bible class. Now, I don't know what that's worth, but I know how much gas that is. And so I was smart enough to give 10% right off the top to the Lord. Except one Friday night that he showed up, I had the money in reverse pockets. And I thought it was a little thick that what I was giving him. But I gave him my entire monthly salary. Now, before you go and go, Kmart wasn't paying me a fortune at the time. You know, it wasn't like $40,000 or anything. But how about if everything for a month you gave away? And so he leaves, and I know he reached down in his pocket and he started whipping out money. And I know he flipped out. You know? Just flipped out. What is all this? Huh? It's a lot of money, isn't it? Oh, now we're getting to better bills. Huh?
Maybe we need to go to Texas.
We have a cash trickle. You have a cash.
This is how I buy my groceries tonight, baby. But nevertheless, what I'm trying to say is, can you imagine what he thought when he got $3,000 in his hand? And I ended up with $300. And you know what my wife said, and this is where the faith issue comes in. She said, "Well, praise the Lord." I'm like out of my gourd. What do you mean, praise the Lord? Are you kidding me? We're going to starve to death. How do I keep this figure if we have all that gone, you know? And she said, the Lord will take care of us. Now, I'm a Kmart manager. I'm not like a preacher that goes around begging for money and food. But man, 2 or 3 days later, a guy knocks on our door that went to our Bible class. His name was Mike Duke. Brought us groceries. And I mean, not just a few. I mean, he looked like he really knows how to buy groceries. And the Lord took care of us. The Lord isn't going to let you down no matter what. That was fascinating to me. No, that was amazing. And we got through that month, and it was tough. I won't tell you. But, come on. Did we miss any meals? Huh? No way. Maintain that nice figure I've got. God took care of us. And I did it accidentally. But I believe the faith of my wife helped bring us through. I can tell you, when I first married her, I watched her in a travel trailer. She lived in a 9x12 travel trailer. She was making $450 a month, is all she was clearing. This ain't like a million years ago. She's not that old. This was 25 years ago. 27. 28. But anyway, things do change. Anyway, she's still as beautiful today though, honey. I love you. Anyway, she lived there so she could send her son to Pensacola Christian. She was right next to the church of Brother Moore, so she could go there. And her boss lived two doors down, could take her to work because she has never driven. Well, she drives me crazy, but other than that, she doesn't drive cars. And she set up her life, and I'd watch her go by the plate and throw money in. And I'm not talking 20 bucks. I'm talking 80, $100. I asked her one time, why do you do that? She said, it's all the Lord's. Yeah, but you could have a nicer house. Yeah, but I wouldn't be next to the church so I could walk. If I had a nicer house, I might have more electric bill and I couldn't send our son to Pensacola Christian. See, something, there was a priority in her mind that was important. And I can tell you at that time, I was stingy. And I made pretty good money when we met. But I was as stingy as you would call it, buddy. I mean, just, it's mine. I worked hard. I ain't giving away. And I realized over the years that everybody, this is not coincidental. This is not something that is just perhaps. It is true in every case. The ones that don't give are always broke. I've never seen anything like it. Even me. We struggled. It didn't matter if I made $3,000 a month or if I made $5,000 a month or $8,000 a month. It didn't really matter. I made all those at the first part of our ministry. You know what we were? Broke. We were always broke. I've determined it's not that at all. And I did a study in Proverbs. Wade, you weren't here, but some of you guys were here when I did that study in Proverbs. I know Wayne was, and Larry, and Tamara, I think, was here. And I don't know who else might have been here. Well, you know, some of the people on Sunday would have been here. But, you know, I can tell you there's a direct correlation. Look, if you will, in 2 Corinthians 8 again. And I'm not doing this because I need your money. It had nothing to do with that. I could care less. You can keep all your money. Most of you that are stingy are going to keep it anyway. Just keep it. It's fine. I'm okay with it. I don't believe everybody's got the ministry to give. I just, some people are stingy. You know? But man, if you could ever figure it out. I was of the philosophy, I honestly believe this with all my heart at one time, that if you worked hard, you could make yourself rich. I believe that with all my heart. And if you were diligent and you paid attention and you worked hard, how many in here work hard? I mean, really work hard. I mean, you put in a day's work. Raise your hand. Okay. How many of y'all are filthy rich? Then I can tell you that philosophy doesn't work. Doesn't matter how hard you work. I'm going to show you that. Hold on. Before we read in 2 Corinthians, hold on here. I'm going to turn my back. Go to Proverbs. And if you can't find Proverbs, it's in the middle of your Bible. And remember, this isn't me saying this. This isn't Brother Barry, you know, standing up and just speaking his mind. I'm just going to read what it says. No, but that's good. I'm going to read you what the Word of God says, okay? And I don't want you to believe Brother Barry. I want you to underline it in your Bible and believe the Word of God, okay? Where did I tell you? Good. Proverbs 23 now. I thought I'd failed my own task. Proverbs 23. Now this is what God said. Labor not to... Verse 4. 23 verse 4. You don't have that ESP thing working, do you? Not yet. Okay, they didn't have it in Texas either. Don't worry. Labor not to be... How many people you go, man, I'm going to work hard, I'm going to get rich, I'm going to get rich, I'm going to work hard. How many's heard that? Always. Here's the fact. God said, labor not to be rich. Labor not to be rich. That's not why you're laboring. I mean, people think, I go to work to make money. Well, then you're stupid. You go to work for a lot of other things. A chance to witness. You know what? I don't know who Amy is at Carlton's place, but she's sweet on the phone. I said, Amy, is Carlton there? Yes, just a minute. Amy, has Carlton really sat down with you with the Word of God? No, yet. Carlton hadn't sat down with you, Amy? Have you? I don't know. She said no, but I mean, you know, she could be lying. Carlton's there because Amy's there. And Amy can't hear the gospel without Carlton. Carlton goes to work, thinks he's getting a paycheck, paycheck, paycheck. No, he's there to win Amy to the Lord. Just doesn't know it. Doesn't do it. Don't labor to get rich. You're not there at Beasley because they need a cute pigtailed secretary. You're there because your boss may need it. Amen? Somebody you know may need the gospel, and you're the one. You're the deliverer. Labor not to be rich. Look what it says. Cease from thine own wisdom. Don't try to figure it out. You're trying to figure it out. Quit trying to figure it out. It ain't faith if you figured it out. It's math. Watch this. Well, thou set thine eyes upon that which is not. I'd like to make $1 million. Set my eyes upon $1 million. For riches certainly make themselves wings, and they fly away as an eagle toward heaven. You know what I told Gary Simpson while I was out there? He's very, very... Well, how'd you learn about money? I said, have you ever read Proverbs? Kind of an amazing book. But you know what? If all you want is money, it's going to take up wings and fly away from you. Have you ever noticed people go and win the... They finally buy the lotto, and they finally win, and in 5 years they're all on the streets going, can I have a quarter for a cup of coffee? You know what? Jim Rohn said this once to me. He said, you better become a millionaire before the millions show up. Think about that for a minute. You better become the millionaire before the millions show up, because when the millions show up and you're just the same kind of thought, you'll lose it all. And I see it time and time again. Say somebody comes into an inheritance and they get $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, and in just a few years it's all gone because they've been unwise. Go back to 2 Corinthians. See, faith is doing something based upon that which God said because God said it. Don't get emotional about it. We can't afford to do it. That's an emotion. I don't know how to feel about that. It isn't about feelings. It is about what God has said. That's faith. God said it. That settled it. It's done. It isn't something that, hey, you don't have to think about it. If you got to think about it, you know what? You're stepping out of the realms of the faith and you're stepping into your own wisdom, and you're going to have a little bit of problem there. He, 2 Corinthians. I was going to go to 8, but I'm going to go on to 6 over in 2 Corinthians 9. I preach this and people think I'm joking.
2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. This is what God said. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Now what does that mean to you? Got that? Give a little, get a little. If you sow very little money, what does that tell me? You're going to get a little. Hold on to here. And go back to Proverbs a minute. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. Now I'll show you. This is the same principle. There is that scattereth, and yet increaseth, and you're thinking, if you scatter, how can you ever collect up any? But then he says, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but attendeth to poverty. How does that work? Go back to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6. If you sow sparingly, what's going to happen to you? So, if you hang on to your savings, all this money is mine.
And I take a little math portion and figure out the Lord's. You're just giving out of sparingly. You know what I'm saying? You say, Brother Barry, are you doing this to get our money? Yep, that's it. That's what I've done. I'm the only preacher I know in the Grace Movement that hasn't taken a salary for 14 years while I built this church. I doubt I'm the guy you're talking about. All the equipment that's gotten us on the internet, I bought personally. Out of my own paychecks, out of my own money. I doubt any of you guys have anything to complain about with me, so I'm not needing your money. You got it? I don't need it. I'm trying to teach you the principles of God for your own good, for your own purpose, for your own will, because faith is an issue that operates in all of your life. And I'm just doing it in money, but it operates in all areas of your life. Okay? I don't want you to lose rewards because you want to give. I want you to do it in a way that will give you rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. That's important to me. Don't want to see Christy get there and go, "Where's your rewards, Christy? Mary, it's looking dismal, man. I'm sorry I didn't tell you. Wait, it could have been better, but I let you down, buddy." I'm going to tell you what it is. So I don't want to do it. That's fine. We love you coming. Just keep coming. You know, keep your filthy money. God knows you're keeping it. And he that withholdeth comes to need. You know why? He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And it's an operation of faith. One of the guys in this ministry that has really kept us up and is Larry, in the sense of being there when it's needed, and he's gone beyond the call of duty, way beyond what you can ever imagine. And if it wasn't for him and people like him, this wouldn't have ever happened. It wouldn't have ever happened. It would have just been something. It wouldn't have been this. See the chairs you're sitting on? How much do you think those chairs, there's 54 chairs. How much do you think that cost? They're about $70 a piece. When we bought these, nobody even had a clue. We just bought them and the Lord took care of it. Why? We needed them. Hey, come on. What were you thinking? I'm thinking the Lord's going to take care of it. Nobody paid for them in that sense. We didn't do the donation thing. We didn't pass the plate. You know, for 25 years, I've never passed a plate. Anybody had a plate glass under their nose here, except maybe to help somebody else out? I mean, go to other churches. They're begging for money. Go to other churches and they're doing that. Not this church. This church hadn't done that at all. Amen? Amen? Ain't been no begging under you. These chairs weren't begged for. They were like, oh, Lord, for it. The Lord took care of them. That's amazing. We go out and do what the Lord wants us to do and the Lord takes care of it. You've got to believe it, though. Look in 2 Corinthians 9. I mean, come on. What would happen if you really pressed the pedal to the metal? What happens if you really stretched your math equation from math and moved it over in the realm of faith? What would happen? What do you think would happen? I'd say, well, the preacher run off with the money. Oh. Hey, brother, you hadn't seen it here. And in 14 years, you ain't even seen a preacher that would stand behind the pulpit for 14 years and preach the Word of God without a salary. I guarantee it. So don't bring even that stuff up. You may have seen it in other garbage church, but bless God, you ain't seen it in this. Amen? So don't be playing that game with me. I mean, that almost insults me. I'm just saying, as long as I'm here, that ain't going to be the case. And I believe I'm worthy of a salary. You all understand? You know? And I've never thought secondly, but I'm sowing seed. That's what I've been doing for the last 25 years, and this is all the seeds I could get to come up. You're it. 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 6 again. But this I say, he that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What does that mean to you? You don't really believe that. If you did, you'd be pouring it out. You know what? I get so sick of people saying that's prosperity gospel, prosperity gospel. It's your Apostle Paul. Don't give me that crap. It's the Apostle Paul. Oh, it's Pentecostal, Pentecostal. You're talking that Pentecostal God. Why did Paul say it? Why wasn't it said in Acts chapter 2? Got a hint for you. In Acts chapter 2, they weren't told to give a portion. They were told to sell it all. I mean, I hear that from my dad and other people. Oh, you've got contemporary music. You're Pentecostal. Well, if these messages are Pentecostal, how come they don't like me?
Because you're not speaking in tongues.
Yeah. You see the problem? It isn't a prosperity gospel. God said it. God said it. Say, well, I don't believe that's written to us. Then you just keep doing that. You'll probably end up broken on Social Security. 95% of the people in this country is going to end up broke and on Social Security. Just look around at your grandparents, your great-grandparents. Where's the money? And you know what? The money of Social Security ain't going to be there. I wouldn't plan on it. hate to tell you, if you're counting on it, you're in bad shape. I'll make $1,300. I'm worried about Wayne. I thought a big guy like that would be dead already. Wayne's going to outlive him. I hope they don't run out of money before he dies. We can't pay you anymore, Wayne. You're done. You know what Wayne would say at that point? Yikes! Amen. Don't plan on that. Use wisdom. Wisdom is the thing you want. What God wants you to do is put wisdom in your mind. And if you do wisdom, you won't have to worry about anything else. You won't have to wonder, well, I wonder what's going to go on. Really? You're wondering? Yeah, I'm just wandering out here with wonders. Well, what are you doing tomorrow? I don't know. Really? That's weird to me. You're people of God. You're people of the Creator. You got to quit joking it. You got to start believing it. How many here would like to have more money? Raise your hand if you'd like to have more money. You know what I would tell you to do? No, not work. You can't work hard enough. I'd start giving right now at a level that I've never given before. Say, well, if I give money, I'm not going to have enough to eat. That might be okay in some cases. Amen? Amen. Y'all understand? Why? Look what he says. He that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully, and every man according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly, or of necessity. Well, if I give, I'm going to get a lot more. That's not the way to go. The way to go is, it's all His. Everything I got is His. What happens if He wants to take it tomorrow? My dad was 76 years old. Ivan came in. Everything he got from Vietnam. Cambodia. We weren't in Cambodia. And all the things that he collected over that, all the gold and silver, all the wood, the paintings from famous artists. You know what? One day, come back, all gone. You know what the Bible says in 1 Timothy? Look what it says in 1 Timothy. Aren't you glad you have me as your Bible teacher? See, I can preach this sermon without any conviction of needing your money or wanting you to put more in the plate. You understand? I'm one of the few that can do that. I don't need your money. You know why you ought to give to the Lord? Here's the key. Wisdom. Wisdom tells you to do that. Say, well, I don't make much. Well, you want to make more? Use wisdom. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, what were we talking about? Yes. Well, I'm just going to kind of cut into the contents. Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we have brought nothing into this world. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us there be with content. But they which be rich fall into temptation and a snare. They start to think, man, I got my own money. And when you start thinking that, you're in trouble. It's all God. Don't you understand it? Many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While some covet after, they have erred from the faith, piercing themselves through with many a sorrow. On and on. I mean, you listen, you brought nothing into this world. You know what you're going to do? I have buried a lot of people. They carry nothing out. They got a ripped suit in the back that they tucked in. They can't even get it on like it used to. And they cut it to put it on you. It's a useless piece of thread. How about when you die? You going to leave any to the Lord? You going to leave your house or some income to the Lord? Are you going to give it all to the snotty-nosed kids that hate you and will spend it drinking beer? Amen? Bet you never really thought about it. Isn't that weird? I mean, come on, this is almost amazing to me. Look, if you will, in Proverbs again. This time go to Proverbs chapter 8. People who want to give online, we have some faithful donors online, and they know who they are. I don't need to call their name out because I don't want to take away from their rewards. We have a couple of people that watch every week, Sundays and Wednesdays. They said the last message I preached was really good. I can tell you that wasn't really me. It was Memorex. I was in Texas. But we appreciate you watching. Now, I'm going to read these words. I get blown away by these. Verse 11. Proverbs 8, verse 11. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. That's hard to get. Isn't that powerful? Verse 17. I love them that love me. Love me who? Wisdom. And those that seek me early, Jeff, Dale, young people. Shall find me. Verse 18. Riches and honor are with me. You want riches? Have wisdom. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. People think they can work for money. You know what? I've got a friend, David Zimmerman. He's got some nice projects going up in Kentucky. Man, he tore up his arm one day. Well, what happens if one day it just rips off? You thought you were going to be a carpenter the rest of your life. Knew a doctor, been to school 8 years. Actually, he was an eye doctor, so he went 8 years and then 3 more years after that to do optometry. 5 years into his practice. Hadn't even paid off his student loan. Used to work with Barry McNamara up north. I'm telling you, as a fact, he got MS in his legs. Golson, that was his name. Yeah, he was mine too. Had to quit. Wow. Ooh. We all got the same preacher and the same eye doctor. That's weird. But he got MS. You know what? Had to quit. All that education, all that he put into it, all the effort. You know what? You can't count on anything. You know what you need? Wisdom. You need wisdom. Lord, give me the wisdom to do what is right. Lord, strengthen my wisdom up. Make that great. And if you have it, look what happens. He says, riches and honor are with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. my fruit, wisdom, is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I lead in the ways of righteousness in the midst of the path of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasury. You know what? If God doesn't do that and you seek wisdom, He's a liar. You got it? If He tells you to seek wisdom and you seek wisdom and you really diligently seek after the will of God and you're really in search of it in your life and you really got turned on with the Word of God and you're fired up and you search that, if He doesn't fill your treasury, He's a liar. Solomon could have asked for anything. He said, Solomon, I'm going to set you up as king. I'll give you anything you want. So Solomon came back to God and he said, you know what? I'd like the wisdom to lead your people in righteousness. You know what he said? Because you neither ask for gold nor silver, but wisdom for my people. I will give you all the gold and silver. And he was the richest man on the planet. Daniel was a slave. He was taken off by the Babylonian Empire. Daniel, there's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel in that story of Daniel 9. Or Daniel, the book of Daniel. And you know what happens to Daniel? Because Daniel has the answer to the king's thing. That's because he sought the wisdom of God. He didn't try to figure it out by his own mind, his own understanding, his own wisdom. Daniel became second in the Babylonian Empire. And when the Medo-Persian Empire came and destroyed the Babylonian Empire, guess who they kept up high in their council? Daniel. He was number two in command. Joseph was a slave, sold on to Egypt. Because of the wisdom of God, he kept promoting until he was second in command, until his family had to come to him and beg. And he knew God had told him that there was going to be a famine, and he had put back the Egyptian corn and barley and all that. And when it came time, he had enough food for him and Israel. Wisdom. You see, wisdom would say, hey, it's all his anyway. I'm going to start pouring it on. I'm going to see what I can do with my cash in my pocket. I'm going to see what I can do. Now, I've been holding back. I've been thinking, well, you know, the church may not need it. It isn't about the church's needs. It's about how far can we go. How far can we go? How far, if we as a group collectively put it together and push it, how far can we go? Using the wisdom of God. Yes?
It's also about being obedient.
Yeah, but not everybody's called to give. He says there's different offices in the body of Christ. Romans chapter 12 clearly states that. And 1 Corinthians 12 too. So I'm not saying that everybody here should give. You know who should give? The ones that have the wisdom to give. And they should pour it on. You got it? And the ones that are just sitter downers? Well, I'd show up and sitter downer. You know what I mean? Don't give because you're going to give, you're going to be stingy. This is how most sitter downers give. Come here, Christy, try it. Here, take that. Take it. Take it. That's how a sitter downer, because they don't want to give. See the problem? You see the problem? Now, what do you think a giver would do? Ha ha ha! You know, I know some of you all aren't giving the right amount. God lets the preacher know. That person isn't putting it out. They get to the plate and they go. When you get to the plate and do this. I love that. Woo! Praise the Lord. Then you're probably getting pretty close. No, if you're crying, that's a bad sign. If you're crying, you're going, Lord, I can't afford to do this. you're a sitter downer and you just think you're a giver. You got it? And I wasn't talking about money. What was I really talking about?
Faith
and wisdom. Don't you believe God? If you'll believe God, listen, it doesn't matter, say, well, I can't do it. You know what? I believe you. But this is what God would have you to say. Turn to Colossians. And if people would like to give on the internet, there's a donation button there. We'd love to have you part of the ministry. Not because we need your money. But why? So you can join in the wisdom. Did I say Colossians? Oh man, I'm like flipping out. It's Philippians. I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 4. I knew it. I turned to Colossians immediately. I realized, boo boo. 4 verse 13. This is the attitude that you should have. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. See, there ain't anything you can't do. There ain't any ministry you can't perform. Just get after it. Make it happen. Turn it on. Say, I want to help preach at the church. And Wade and those guys, man, they're tearing it up at the pulpit, you know? You know, the only one I have to correct is Tony this week. I'm just kidding. I was picking on Tony because Deborah's probably back there going, what? Brother, we're all used to it. Listen to me. I want to crank this up about 10 notches high. I want to crank it as hot as it gets. And let it rip, don't you? Just to see what could happen. I'm like, what's this going to happen? Aren't you curious what might happen if you really did it out? Now, I'm done. I want to mention just a couple things in housekeeping. I don't mind you using the envelope to put cash in the thing. But don't waste the envelope if you don't put your name on it. Because you're not going to get a tax donation if I can't figure out who gave it. Got it? And it's not because I want to be ugly, but if you'll just write your name on there, at the end of the year, the government won't get all your money. Okay? We want you to keep some of your money in your pocket. But if you give cash and I don't know who it came from, I don't have ESP. I have ESPN at home, but not ESP here. So don't give money in an envelope without your name. Just throw the cash in. If you want to get tax donation, we're a 501(c). Probably shouldn't have done that. But anyway, I is now. And so you get a donation and that. Now don't walk by the plate and not throw something in, William. You'll feel bad now.